Let's get to our guest, John Woods, Asia-Pacific CIO at Credit Suisse. Well, John, it appears that we have something like 3 to 6 months of pain coming up if you're long risk assets. But after that, there'll be some opportunities, and we've got a couple of big catalysts that would be looming. The Fed perhaps hinting that job done, and maybe a change in the COVID policy in China. Which one happens first?
Gosh, that's a complex and well-judged question,
it's
Brian.
It's a brilliant, brilliant question.
My sense is actually we are quite some way from any sense of Fed pivot, given the message which reverberated from Jackson Hole just a few days ago. My sense is the Fed will not even consider easing, at least until we see inflation at or very close to that 2% target or 2 to 3% target, and not only hitting that target, but remaining there consistently for a number of months. So I think one of the reasons why the market so aggressively sold off Friday was the fact that we are, 8-9% currently in terms of headline CPI. I can't imagine us getting down to that sort of 2% area, at least for 6 to 9 months. Regarding zero COVID, I think that's an event for post the party congress, which is scheduled, I believe, for October. I suspect that there will be a number of months before that's recalibrated and repackaged, possibly something for the new year 2023. So on balance, I suspect it's zero COVID rather than any sense of a pivot by the Fed.
And just getting back to the impact of what we're expecting from the Fed on risk assets, if you've seen September, the second worst month on average for the S&P 500 index over the past two decades, how much further pain are we expecting next month?
Well, I think it was noteworthy that in his short, sharp shock, which was that 8 minute speech, Fed Chairman Powell made zero reference whatsoever to financial conditions and financial markets. That says to me that both the economy and the market is likely to endure a substantial amount of pain inflation is engineered lower. And by the way, one of the reasons Credit Suisse unusually moved its tactical allocation to underweight equities for the first time in a very long time in anticipation of a deceleration in economic growth, a compression in margins, and frankly, a higher probability of recession.
I did say 3 to 6 months of pain, and it seems like you're saying it could be more.
Well, absolutely. It's really a function of inflation and how enduring and how sticky that is likely to be.
Investors will want to get out in front, right? At some point, they'll be looking perhaps beyond the recession.
Yes, I guess they will be looking for opportunities and cheapened valuations. We're not there yet. We're not anywhere close, I think, to these sort of levels, which would be attractive, by which I mean sort of one or two standard deviations below a 10 or even 15-year mean. Brian, we're not there yet, and I suspect it will take some time for that to happen.
You touched quickly on China's COVID zero, but just quickly, how weak are these PMIs expected to be when we get them in about 20 minutes?
Well, I don't think they're going to be substantially weaker, although I think they are going to tick lower. I mean, one of the big problems we have with China right now is the hesitancy, both of the central government and provincial governments, to aggressively roll out the stimulus that has already been announced. And until that actually happens, until provincial governments in particular step up and aggressively invest, well, then I suspect PMIs, and particularly forward PMIs, will remain under pressure.
I just wanted to get your thoughts, though, on the PBOC setting that stronger than expected yuan fix for a sixth day, getting more aggressive in pushing back against this weaker yuan.
Well, I think the PBOC is between a rock and a hard place right now. You have obviously the Fed signaling an intention to raise rates perhaps more aggressively than originally anticipated, and yet you have the PBOC at the same time seeking to ease rates to support underlying economic conditions. And of course the Fed constrains the PBOC's ability to do that, and the only way really to offset that is through the currency. So we've seen a substantial amount of volatility in renminbi, both onshore and offshore. I suspect that will continue. The PBOC will seek to smooth as much as it can the underlying trend of renminbi, but in our view, it's likely to weaken further. We're calling for around 6.9 in the next 3 months or so, but frankly, I wouldn't be at all surprised if we get a little more volatility in the interim period.
So many Asian currencies have weakened even more, so the comparative advantage is not really that big for China. I mentioned QT because I am not quite sure how to measure it. So I'm hoping to get some expertise from you. How much QT is priced into the markets, and what is the best way to measure it?
Well, I mean, I think it's certainly the case that Jackson Hole and interest rates have captured the attention of the market. But absolutely underlying that, we have the enduring risk of QT. And of course, the Federal Reserve this week is set to raise that program from some $60 billion. To a month to some 30, 35 billion. So there's a substantial increase in the runoff of treasuries being held. The extent to which it influences market pricing, market behavior, again, it's less certain. But certainly I think it speaks to the draining of liquidity from the market, the type of support that previously existed to both the economy and particularly equity markets, I suspect is likely to diminish. And again, just speaks to a more challenging set of circumstances in the next 3 to 6 months and probably confirms those investors which are seeking to manage and reduce risk in such an environment.
John, I mentioned the weakness that you're seeing in crude headed for its longest declining streak in more than 2 years. Have we started to see a little bit of the tightness in the crude market ease?
Certainly. And I think purely from a fundamentals perspective, we will anticipate lower oil prices in the weeks and months to come. I mean, it doesn't help that on the supply side, there seems to be a reluctance to cut production amongst certain OPEC members, and that was the message communicated in the last few days. But my sense is, as we reprice growth at the global level, actually underlying premium for crude will diminish, and we would anticipate further downward pressure on prices.
John, how big of a story is the reshoring of key manufacturing back home for a lot of countries? Particularly the United States have made the most noise, but others will likely do so as well. And how much of an impact on China is there going to be?
A massive medium to long-term impact. I would suspect over the near term, less so. It takes decades to set up and establish the infrastructure for a supply chain, and unwinding it over the near term is very, very difficult.
Is it a net positive?
Well, I mean, it's a net positive for the reshoring, that the countries benefiting from that reshoring. I'm less convinced it's a positive for countries like China. But again, it speaks to the end of globalization. It speaks to a rise in multipolar worlds. It speaks to the geopolitical divisions that are now impacting the economic. Outlook for our global economy. And again, I don't see that changing anytime soon. So over the medium term, absolutely countries in and around the United States, for example, Mexico, Canada, will all be major beneficiaries of reshoring, and something similar comparably in the EU as well.
John, always a pleasure. John Woods joining us in Hong Kong, Asia Pacific CIO at Credit Suisse.